special time for me. I mean, it's not something that we should ever take lightly or think of once a month or however often we do it. But it just reminds me again of just how much God has done for us and how much he loves us. In Corinthians, it tells us that we are to examine ourselves before we take part of the Lord's Supper. And as I was thinking about that this morning, as I looked at Jesus and the example that he set, and here he is, Corinthians again reminds us, it says, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks. That's pretty profound. He knew exactly what he was up. If we move ahead, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says he's sweating like sweat drops of blood, that the pressure is and the stress, because he knows what's about to happen. And he says, you know, before that, he's still giving thanks, knowing what he's about to partake in. And I thought, what a representation of not allowing your circumstances to change your heart. And that's exactly what God wants us to be. And that's why he asked us to examine ourselves, because he wants our hearts to be in the right spot no matter what we're about to go through, what we're going through, or what's going on in our lives. And I'm just blown away by the example that he sets. And then he goes on to do it anyhow for us. Even though he had all that pressure on him, he still wanted to do it. And I'm just amazed at the strength in our Savior. In your hands, you have two emblems. You have the wafer, which is the bread, and you have the grape juice, which is the wine. And when I think of these two things, I think of a representation of what it reminds me of is a problem and a solution. See, the problem is that sin came into the world. And what God wants you to know today is that he doesn't see you, regardless of where you're at, as a sinner. He sees you as a son or daughter. And depending on your relationship with God, you're either with him or you're separated from him. And that was the problem. You see, sin entered the world. And that was the cause of the problem. Sin itself separated us from God. God created us. Adam and Eve were created to walk in the garden with God. And we were supposed to be in the presence of God every day of our life. We were not supposed to be separated. But you see, the thing is that God is so holy, he can't be associated with sin. So now we have a problem. The problem is sin comes in and causes a separation. And that's what I see when I see the wafer. I see a problem, not so much in what happened, but God seeing a problem. And the problem was the sin. And so we know that Jesus had to come to bring us back. So with the wafer in your hand, let's just remember that on the night that the Lord was betrayed again, that he took this, he broke it, and he gave thanks and said, do this in remembrance of me. So let's partake of the wafer together. The cup, to me, represents a solution. Jesus' body was broken for sin. But when his blood was spilled, sin no longer had hold on mankind. There was no more separation if we chose not to. It was an open invitation to come back into his presence, no matter where you're at, no matter where you're from, no matter your nationality, your background, your color, your creed, whatever. There is no male or female, we're told, in the kingdom of heaven. We are all equal at the foot of the cross. This makes you a son and a daughter again. What Satan tried to steal was restored again. But this is also a representation of what, even what Pastor Phil's about to speak on in the days ahead about sozo and stuff. It's more than just getting in, and you've heard Pastor Phil say this, it's more about just getting into heaven. If you are a Christian, that's like saying, well, if I walk into a puddle with bare feet, my feet are going to get wet. That's just the way it is. So if you're a Christian, you're going to get into heaven. There's more to it than just that. And God wants us to see that. It's the truth that God is really calling us back to. What is the truth as a Christian? What can we expect just to, you know, to get together on a Sunday every once in a while and praise God? And those are all awesome things, and I just adore coming together and doing these things. But there's just so much more to it. We can expect more than just salvation, but healing and deliverance. We can expect to come into the presence of God. You see, that's what was why the presence of God is so important to me, because when I feel the presence of God, it reminds me of what Jesus did. Jesus restored it so I can come back into his presence again. That's just crazy. That he will want to be in my presence. He loves me so much that he wants to be in my presence and allow me to be in his. And then where the presence of God is, there's freedom. If you don't have the presence of God, you don't have much. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because the presence of God is everything. And so that is the most important thing as a Christian, is to just to practice that presence of God in your life. Because that's what God wants to do. God wants so desperately to be in your presence, and you allow him to come into it, because he won't force himself on you. But if you draw close to him, he will draw close to you. So that's just the solution. What his blood did was brought us back into his presence and allowed us to experience everything that God has in store for us. All of his riches, all the glory, all the things that he, from the beginning of time, we can expect to walk in as Christians because of what Jesus did on the cross. So let's partake of the cup together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you today again, Lord. I pray that it never becomes just a thing we do, God, but something that would remind us every day of our life, God, just how important your presence is, how much you love us, and what you really did accomplish, Lord, that you don't see us as sinners, God, even if we are stuck in it, God, but you see us as somebody who's just, that you love, God, and that you have designed to come into relationship with you, and there's just something in the way that has to be dealt with. So, Father, I just thank you again, God, that you love us so deeply. God, that there is nothing that can separate us from you, from that love, God. As long as we stay close to you, God, as we just search after you, Lord, you will be faithful, God, to pour out your love and your presence on us, God, and you will keep us every step of the way, even through those dark valleys, God. You'll never leave us, you never forsake us, and you're right there encouraging us and blessing us every day of our life. So we thank you, God, and we just pray that you would be blessed today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Isn't God so good? He takes us where we are. Not where we think we should be, but he takes us where we are. And that blows my mind. It blows me away. And that I don't have to try to work up and get up. And that, how many have ever gone to a job interview before? Right? You go to a job interview and you got to put your best foot forward. You better make sure your resume is looking really good. You better get some things if you want to do something, and that, or, you know, high school students that are looking to go and do something, well, then all of a sudden universities are looking. What are your credentials? What are your credentials? Do you fit? Do you belong? Jesus doesn't look that way. He says, hey, I'll take you where you are. Let's do life together. Let's do life together. Let's grow. Let's move. And let's develop in our heart and our relationship with him. Amen? At this time, we're going to dismiss the kids. Kids are dismissed at this time, and we're going to take up our morning tithes and offerings. I'll ask the ushers to come forward at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for an opportunity for us to give back to you. Lord, reminding yourself just who you are and the fact that you hold everything in your hands. So Lord, we bring our tithes and our offerings as an act of obedience, as an act of saying to the world and the things around us that you do not have a hold on us. and that is Jesus that holds us, and we put our faith and trust in him. So, Lord, I thank you for that right now. Thank you for each and every one in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And, it's good to have you in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be here together as we join together, as we lift up the Lord, as we come to hear from him. Amen. In your bulletin, you've got a little insert called Kazon, and that today I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I've shared before on this. I'm sharing again. It's an opportunity that we are offering here at Rockcliffe to help, and that through some classes we'll offer to help dig in, and that to help find your connect your passion, your vision, and your purpose together. Amen. And that it's not necessarily, most people in life, they're looking for, hey, just tell me what to do. Just tell me, you know, go two steps right, one step left, and then one right, and the dance moves, you know, and so people learn those dance moves, just, you know, and why? Because we want to fit in. We don't want to look odd, right? Even though I'm looking odd right now. You know, we don't want to look odd. We want to fit in, so just give me the steps. Give me the things to follow. And in reality check, and that with the Lord, there are some steps that he does give us, but most of the steps in our walk with the Lord will only happen as you quiet yourself before the Lord. And you seek him. And you choose to realign yourself to every time he says, recalculate. Remember the GPS? You know, and that recalculating, why? Because you're going down the wrong road. Recalculating, and then you turn around, you find your way, and you get back again. Recalculating, now you've gone so far, you've got to turn right. And so you turn right, and then it turns left, and it gets you back on track again. And that's what God does in our life over and over and over again. Why? Because he cares for you. He plays for keeps. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you fall through his hands as if some enemy or someone can steal you from God, like as God is weak and he's not able. But when you come through life, I notice that a lot of people go through life without a plan. I don't have any plan. Well, que sera, sera. Whatever happens, happens. And they don't have a plan. And yet God says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Okay, so you might not know the plans for your life, but there is someone that does. Amen? His name is God. And as we call out to his name and we spend time with him, that's why reading your Bible in prayer is not wasted time, then he begins to lead us and guide us and whisper and recalculate and move in our life to move us towards those good plans. In the New Testament, that was in Jeremiah chapter 29, in the New Testament he says, I prepared in advance every good thing, good work, every good thing that you are supposed to do in life. So that person in a month's time that you're going to go out of your way with and you're going to help and that to this situation or that, God has prepared in advance and he starts to put it on your heart and that so that you would turn around and say, oh, okay, well, I'm going this way. Or you're walking this way and all of a sudden the GPS in your heart and your mind, the Holy Spirit starts to say, recalculate because there's something I want you to do right now. And so if you heed Holy Spirit and recalculate it, you accomplish the good things that he's planned for your life. It's not really difficult. It's not rocket science. God made it so easy that a child could walk with him. Amen? But yet so many times, so many people walk through life without a plan. There's no vision of where they're going to go. They just kind of on a wing and a prayer. And that they, when they look at life and someone says, hey, what have you accomplished? What they do is they just turn around and they look back in their past and find a dot somewhere and they run over and they draw a circle around and say, look, I hit the bullseye. Instead of waiting on the Lord, hearing from the Lord, redirecting their life so that they can walk towards that purpose of what he created you and he put you here because there's no other person like you. No other person like you. There's no one else who can wear your shoes. There's no one else can do what you can do and that in the way that God has set it up. Oh, you know what? You might be a carpenter and someone else might do carpentry. You might fix cars. Someone else might be able to fix cars, whatever it might be. But I'm talking about how you do it, how it comes out of you. Right? We had a little exercise when I was away at this conference, and he was talking about, you know, conflict resolution and so forth. And he shared one line, one sentence, but he emphasized a different word in that sentence and said it five times. Five different words he emphasized differently. And every time he said it, depending on where the emphasis was, it had a different meaning. And when God pours out his spirit and he says, hey, and that I really would like you to go and speak to this person. Oh, sure, someone else can go speak to him. But the flavor that God wants it to come out to that person is through your personality. That's why he asked you. That's why when God asks you something, it actually is pretty important. In fact, could other people do it? Oh, someone else could share the message, emphasizing in different parts, but they won't share it the way that God wanted it shared. Because if God wanted it shared in a different way, he would have asked Wes to share it instead of Alex. Because of the personality and the way that it would flow. You matter to God. And when he puts something in your heart, it's on purpose, setting you up and moving you forward. In your notes that you have in your bulletin, just underneath Acts chapter 20, and that say this phrase with me. Okay, that's the one we're going to use, okay? The one that starts with everyone, okay? Everyone ends up somewhere. Few people end up somewhere on purpose. Everyone ends up somewhere in life. That's why we have so many people that are walking around today looking back at their life with regret. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be getting older and looking back with regret. Oh, will we always do everything right? No. No, we won't. But we don't have to carry regret with us when everything in our heart is pointing on trying to do what the Lord asks us to do today. Right, that phrase growing up as a kid that scared me and it brought fear in my life and tried to, you know, cause me to work harder and do more was that phrase of, well, when you get to heaven, I hope the good Lord will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, I don't know. You better get your butt in gear. You better this or that. And as if it's like this carrot in front of the donkey with this long pole you see in the cartoon. And the donkey's always trying to get it, and he just can't get it. That's not how God works. That's not the picture the scripture teaches us. And then he's asking us, he says, hey, just find out what I'm doing today, and just say yes to that. And then when tomorrow rolls around, just find out what I'm doing today, and just say yes to that. Here at Rockcliffe, we're trying to learn to say more yeses to God than noes. And the more yeses we say to him, when we get to heaven, you're going to hear in trumpet sounds, well done, good and faithful servant. Why? Because you did what he asked you to do. Not what everyone else asked you, not this, not that, but what he asked you to do. His burden is light, his yoke is easy. So whose voice are we supposed to grab a hold of? His. We listen to his voice. Now, his voice sometimes comes through other people that he puts in place around us and that speak into our lives and that idea, but it should always, it doesn't matter who it is speaking into your life, it should always bear witness inside. Always. The difficulty, though, for some is we've numbed ourselves so much to Holy Spirit. By saying no, by saying no, by saying no, by saying no, that we don't even understand and we don't even know inside when Holy Spirit is saying, go right. And that's where Holy Spirit is trying to remind us again, come before me and soften your heart. Humble yourself before me. He says, and as you do that, he says, I'll open your ears. It doesn't matter what yesterday was. I'll open your ears. Everyone can hear him. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be some super spiritual person. If you open your heart to the Lord, you can hear his voice. And he will speak to you. He will lead you and he will guide you. Sometimes it'll be a feeling inside. Sometimes it'll be a thought that will come into your head that he'll plant. Sometimes it'll be through the voice of some other godly person around you. Sometimes it'll be through a donkey. It'll be through something that just makes no sense at all. And it's not really God or Christian or that, but he speaks out of that. And all of a sudden, your heart just turns. There's a movie a long time ago, it was Braveheart. I'm not promoting the movie Braveheart. But in that movie Braveheart, you know, like the guys, you know, we're watching that. And all of a sudden, when he's being tortured, and then they're going to kill him for his audacity to try and stand up to the might of England. All of a sudden, I watched. And something inside of me started to turn. And my heart, tears in my eyes started to roll as I started to think of Jesus. I started to think of Jesus and what Jesus did. Now, that wasn't a biblical movie, but it sure spoke into my heart, and it brought me humbly back before the Lord again. See, God is speaking to us all the time. Creation, you look out and all of a sudden it's like, wow. No, don't get me wrong. There's people out there, they pray to a tree. They pray and they feel their dog has a spirit and so they pray to an animal and all this. Okay, whoa, that's not what I'm talking about. But when you look out and all of a sudden that beautiful painted rainbow or the sun or the moon, you look at it and you're just like, wow. God did all of this. You look at that bird. That hummingbird and the beautiful colors. And it's just like something inside of you, just like, oh my goodness, God, you painted that. You created that in such wonderful detail. How much more have you done for us? See, it makes us pause for a moment. It overwhelms us on just how good the Lord is. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 29 that where there is no vision, people perish. Where there's no plan, where there's no future direction, where there's no vision, people perish. And that word vision there is the word chazon. And that it's the Hebrew word for that word vision in English. And God challenges us and then he shares with us that we come into this place of seeking him first. What is it you have? What is it you want? What is it you are leading in? Are you hearing his voice today? When we look at all the greats from the Bible, if you look at Moses, you look at David, Esther, Paul, Nehemiah, the list could go on and on and on. Again, you will see people who had a vision from God. Every single one of them experienced four different and very distinct phases on the way to God's chazon, God's plan, God's vision, God's direction. And that his vision, his reason for their existence. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Acts chapter 20 with me in verse 22 and 24. Just to give you a little bit of context of Acts chapter 20, Paul was ministering in Ephesus. He was in was a place of one of the churches that had he had started. It was he was really crazy. He really loved this people in this place. And that he loved the ministry. God started to stir with him, much like what some of us has felt, or we've been stirred and we get moved. I just got to do this. I got to make this step. He realized God was calling him to something bigger. He was calling him to leave that place to move to something else. Well, in that part is we see that, and this is where this verse and this is where this part comes out, and that where he's so overwhelmed. He loves what God is doing. He loves where he's at. But he's feeling something in his heart that God is calling to something else. It might be for some of us, you've been in a job. Been in a job, you like your job, things are good. But then something's stirring in the heart that, man, I'm not in the right place. I got to make a step. I remember one of the young adults in my church growing up, I was looking up to. He was a guy that loved the Lord. He went away to dental school. Well, how many of you know dental school is like, what, 2 weeks long? And that, I mean, it's not that much of a commitment at all. And he comes back from dental school, and that he starts building up his clientele and all that stuff. He's got a great practice going. And all of a sudden, God started to speak into his heart. He started to whisper in his heart. And that, hey, this is not where I asked you to be. This is not what I asked from you. Well, now, wait a minute. On the outside, to his family, to the world, everything looked great. I mean, he was a successful dentist now, getting his practice going. He was in it now 2.5 years. He's got a good clientele. He's starting to make some good money. He's paying off his debt. But he couldn't get away from, wait a second here. And God brought him back to when he was in high school, asking the Lord, God, what is it you want me to do? What should I, like, where should I put my energy and my focus? And he had this part inside of him that he wanted to be a grease monkey. Or we know it as a mechanic. But all of his family and his friends and his teachers and everyone around said, you know what, there's no money in that. Don't go into that. You need to go into be a dentist or a doctor or something else because you're good at this. You're good at this. So he's put everything into this only to make it into 2.5 years into dentistry, and God brings him back to that moment. Has anyone ever had that time in your life where you've gone so far at something thinking this is right, this is it, only to have God awaken or speak into your heart and it's like, I'm going down the wrong path. This isn't the right way. So what do? You have to turn around, you have to go back the same way you came. Elijah did that, right? When all of a sudden Jezebel came, he just took on 450 prophets of Baal, and then Jezebel shows up on the scene. He says, I'm going to kill you. And he runs from one person. When really all of Israel was kind of like, oh, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And then 450 prophets of Baal are like, they want to kill him. They're mad at him. And yet all of a sudden he takes them on, but then he runs from her. He starts to go. Everywhere he goes, people are, aren't you the guy? Aren't you? No, I've given up. I'm done on God. I'm done with this. I'm not doing anything else anymore. And then God meets him. He says, why are you here? Well, you know, God, you know, no. Why are you here? This is not where I've asked you to be. This is not where I want you to be. Why are you here? So he has that wake-up moment with God to realize, wait a minute here. It's not where I'm supposed to be. So what does he do? He turns and he walks back. And everyone he passed to say, I'm done with God. I'm done with this. He comes back and says, I was wrong. That's not what it was. I was wrong. No, I'm back with God. This is where I'm going. And then he moves into what God has for him. Well, this young man, 2.5 years in with dentistry, he ends up giving up his practice. He goes in back to school, takes on mechanics. His wife says, this is the man that I remember. This is the joy. This is and their whole marriage, everything transformed because he didn't carry the weight of the world. He felt like he had fun. It was like he was meant to be that all his life. There's another young adult in my last church. And that didn't know what to do. So he turns around and he's asking around. And they say, you know, well, you should go be a chef. Well, I'm going to tell you, he went to get his red seal. And I kid you not, he was one of the best chefs I know. He knew how to put flavors together to make it punch that you could taste. And you're just like, are you kidding me? You could take a piece of leather and you would drool over it when it was done. Like, I'm not kidding. He was incredible at it. But after he completed all the excitement of getting it and everything else, he started working in a high-end restaurant because he was that good at it, only to realize he was feeling empty. feel like something's not right, something's not there. And so all of a sudden, as we're talking, we're praying to him, he backs away and he hears God's voice. This is not what he was meant to do. Back in high school, he had this thought, I want to be an engineer. I want to make a difference, and I want to use my engineer in that for you, God, so that I can help and I can build and I can do. So in that moment of him in this moment, his math wasn't so good, so everyone said, you can't do that, you're going to fail out on that, so just go off onto something else. Well, how many know when God asks us to do something, it's not always easy, is it? Right, that's the lie we get. Oh, well, if God's in it, it's got to be easy. No, it isn't. Everything inside of you might scream opposite, and you might have to wade through a whole bunch of naysayers around you. You might have to break through some things as you're moving along and trying to embrace what God has. And that's why it's important for all of us to hear his still, small voice. Because you can run a rabbit trail all of your life long with no plan and no purpose because you haven't heard from your Father. You haven't heard what God said he wanted you to do. You've done what you wanted to do or what someone told you you should do. And God reminds us to reset all the time with him to hear his voice. And it's okay. God redeems everything. God picks up everything. So let me share in that these verses 22 to 24. Here's what it says. He's very emotional. He's teared up. And he's speaking to the elders. He says, and now compelled by the people around me, by my parents, by my job, by the government. No, he didn't say any of that. He says, compelled by the Spirit. Are you hearing his voice? I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task or plan the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So let me share quickly. I've only got a few more minutes left. Four phrases from Kazon or vision. And that the first one you'll find in your notes. And that if you haven't experienced this, I pray that you do. As you maybe come to this Kazon experience that we'll share with you on principles on how to put pieces together to try and hear his voice and see what God has created you for. I'm not talking as, oh, I'm going to find out he created me to be a doctor or a nurse or this or that. I'm not saying that. But the flavor, the personality, the heart, your giftings, the experiences. We have a tendency on everything bad and ugly that's happened in our life is to shove it under the carpet, right? We just get it away from me as quick as possible, and I don't even want to go there and think about that. But yet, in all honesty, it's in some of those really tough things you and I have gone through that's made us in who we are today. For some, it's made us into something not so good. Because we've embraced that hurt and that pain, and now we project that out in what we do. For others, and that it's made them stronger, it's made them more compassionate, more full of grace when they look to others. You see, everything that happens in our life will make or break you, depending on whose hands it's in. If it's left in your hands and my hands, it's not going to work so well. If we put it in someone else's hands, and that they're going to end up warping it or twisting it potentially in some other way. But if we put it in his hands, he will always work it around for good for those that are called according to his purpose. Everyone that comes to him and opens, he's got a plan for you. Put it in his hands and let him lead you. So the first phase is the Spirit's prompting. In verse 22, we see that part where he says, and now compelled by the Spirit, and that he just had this urge, I got to go, I got to do. When's the last time you felt the compelling of Holy Spirit? When's the last time you felt that passion, something inside of you just ready, I got to do this. I got to speak to this person. I've got to shift. I've got to move. You see, this is what God is longing for our lives. In another portion, it says, and that those that are my sons and daughters are those that are led by the... Are you being led by Him? Are you feeling those unctions and that the Spirit's prompting inside? If not, we want to help you because every believer in Christ can hear God. Amen? Let's try it again. Every believer in Christ can hear God. Amen? Everyone. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what's going on. It don't matter. Everyone can hear God. In other words, this wasn't my idea. This was the Holy Spirit's idea. That's that compelled by the Spirit. The phrase that's translated compelled by the Spirit is dionuma. Dio is the word, Greek word, and that if you're taking notes, it's translated compelled, or it means bound, or it means wrapped with cords. Pneuma is the word that is translated spirit, or current of air, or breeze of the Spirit. So dionuma, and that many of you have had or will have one of these experiences or moments, and that you are wrapped up and bound by the Spirit, that you're compelled by Him. He just moves in your heart. And now in that part is some might have more frequently moments like that. Others, it might not be as frequent moments, but as a good wise man once told me, he says, Phil, keep doing the same thing that God told you to do. The last thing that you heard God to say, keep doing that until God says something different. If God says, keep walking this way, keep walking this way until God says, do something different. You see a ledge here, keep walking this way until God says something different to you. Now, you might be a couple steps away, and now you're spending a little more time on your knees before Him saying, God, there's a cliff coming up here, God. Like, what am I going to do? He will speak to you by faith. By faith. Not by sight. We make a lot of our decisions based off of our emotion and off of what we see, what we feel, instead of off of the Spirit of God. And He's reminding us and He's compelling us to come back to this moment where the Spirit of God, and that just moves you. He pulls you. He tugs you. Where you see something, you think, and that can't be. That shouldn't be. I could do something about that. And the Holy Spirit just moves you because you see something that's wrong and you can move into that place to do it. The Cozone experience, we want to help you to seek God through His Word. Look at your gifts that He's given you, the experiences that He's given you, that you've walked through in your life, the good, bad, and ugly, and experiences that He's given, the values and the things that you value as they all point to your kazon, to your purpose, to the plan that He has for your life. Secondly, and that is that certain uncertainty. The Spirit speaks, and then you go, now what? I think I heard from God, but I don't know what to do next. How many have ever experienced where God speaks into your heart and He says, hey, go right. So you go right, but where am I going? What am I doing? I don't know. He just said, go right. So we just go right. And as faith, we take a step with Him to go right because we heard Him say, go right. As we take that step of faith, then God starts to unfold in front of us the plan. He wanted to see, could I trust you enough with this plan that you'll listen to me and you'll move? You and I, we want everything in advance sometimes because we want to calculate the risk. We want to calculate the cost. We want to calculate something else. But God is saying in our life, whoa, that's not an act of faith. That's not that part. Now, don't get me wrong. And that when God's putting in our heart, we sometimes have to calculate out certain things. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying if we base everything on, I don't know, God, just give me a minute, I'm going to think about this, and I'm going to kind of calculate the risk whether I want to do what you want me to do, that's not a really healthy place to be. It's not a healthy place to be. He wants us to say a little more yeses to him. That's what he's asking from us. That's what he's looking from us. In verse 22, the next part of that verse says, I'm compelled by the Spirit. I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. He just feels compelled, certain uncertainty, that I need to go to Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been compelled, and God said, hey, he puts in my heart, hey, you need to go and talk to Luann. So then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go talk to Luann. But I don't know. I don't know any response. I don't know what's going on, but I know that he says, I want you to do that. Or he says, hey, I want you to stop that person that's in the line behind you in the cashier. I want you to stop. I want you to turn. I want you to talk to them. And you're like, wah, la, 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 you know, and you sit there for a moment. But then as you turn and say, hey, how are you doing? And you just make small talk. You're saying, hey, you know, how's your week going? How's things? And you're, God, what do you want me to do? Why am I turning around? What do you want me to do here? But it's that taking that step, and he'll lead you. Those that come to pray for other people, or you've taken time to pray for people, lots of times, sometimes Holy Spirit will put something in your heart, and you'll know what you need to pray, and you'll pray it over them. But other times, you'll walk up, and you're like, hey, what can I pray for? Why? Because you just felt compelled. I need to pray. It's not necessarily knowing why, but something in your heart said, make a move and pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. Pray for your child. Pray for your spouse. You might not know exactly what, but pause and what can I pray for? As you're asking them that, and you're also saying, God, like you put in my heart to make this move, what do you want me to do here? What do you want to say, God? And then as you open your heart up to him, then the Lord will put it in your heart what to do. In other words, I know what that I'm supposed to do this, but that's all I know. I'm not really sure of what's going to happen next. So first you have the Spirit's prompting. We need to hear Holy Spirit. We need to feel that prompting. We need to know that it's him and he's asking something. He's moving us in a direction. Second is that certain uncertainty, that part of where we come to him and we ask him, Lord, and that I don't understand everything, but by faith, I'm going to take this step. By faith, I'm going to start talking to this person. By faith, I'm going to move in this direction. I'm going to do this. I might not have all the answers. And so this is where I come back to, and a lot of believers in our lives, we won't make any move until God gives us the full plan. But that's just not how God works all the time. Sometimes he gives you the full plan. I shared with you and that back in one house. I mean, I've renovated 7 homes. And in one of my homes, and that I was at the very beginning of the whole house rental thing that my wife and I did so she could stay home with the kids and so forth and so forth. And I'm just like overwhelmed the house that we had. I mean, it was only $91,000. It wasn't an expensive house. It was a house together connected to another one. So a semi-split or whatever you call that. And so in that part is I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. I'm over my head here. And that I felt pressured into this. I don't know what to do, how to handle this. And so I felt God speak into my heart. And he gave me A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Everything, right to the real estate agent. Told me who I needed to go to, and he told me the price that I was going to get for the home. Now, if you ask me, I've been walking with God for all my life. I've never had a plan like that laid out so beautifully for me. It was so beautiful, so easy, that I walked in looking for remnant carpet. I didn't have a clue what that meant. I walk into the store because I had the picture of the store. I had the name of the store. I never knew that store. I never walked in that store before, but God gave me all of that in this dream. He spoke into my heart, and I just wrote it all down. I walk in, and I'm like, hey, I'm looking for something called remnant carpet. Oh, yeah, yeah, we got lots of that. It's over here. And they take me over, and I'm looking, and there are all these rolls that are end cuts and everything all leaning against the wall. And that's, well, you know, how big of an area are you trying to cover? Well, I'm trying to cover this. Oh, my Lord, that's way too much. You can't get that in remnant. You have to go into the regular stuff because you're wanting to outfit the whole basement with carpet. I said, I know, but, and that God said, sorry, I didn't say God. I said, but no, I really need remnant carpet. That's what I need. And so I'm looking down. I even had a picture that God had given me, and there's the carpet. And he's like, okay, well, there's only one roll of that. That's all we have. I said, no, you have more. No, you don't have any more. No, that's it. Everything we have is out. He said, no, you have more. In fact, if you go into your back of your store and you go off to the right and into that back corner in behind a couple of things, you're going to find more. I've never been in the store before, but this is how much detail God gave me. The person goes back, sheepishly comes back and says, we got three more rolls of it. I thank you very much. I'll take all of it. So I take it all. We get it laid in the basement. He gave me a design, gave me the plan, everything. He told me who to call, what to do. I told me the real estate. I called a real estate agent. He was a Christian brother. He came in and I said, okay, this is the price I want. He laughed at me. He says, there's no way I can put that price on this house. If I put the price on the house, I'm going to get laughed out with all my friends because this is just a ridiculous price. I said, no, if you won't do it, I'll find someone else because God told me this was the price. We ended up selling that house, being able to pay everything off and have enough money for a down payment on our next house and to fix it up. It was a ridiculous price that was on that house. It was almost equal to the same price as a like a regular home with a garage. And we were just a semi, whatever you call those ones. Like it made no sense, but God gives A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But in all my life of serving him, it's only happened once like that. Almost all the time, it's, hey, I want you to turn right. Where am I going? What am I doing? What do you want me to say? How do you want this? And he just says, turn right. And the moment we turn right, and we come in agreement with him, and we just keep going right because he said go right, so we keep going right, then all of a sudden he starts to speak and say, okay, now you're in the right place, and I want you to do this and this. Are you ready to quiet your heart enough to be able to hear from him? My sons and daughters are those that are led by the Spirit of God. So we have the Spirit's prompting, we have certain uncertainty. Next is the predictable resistance. And that reality is, and that you will meet resistance. Spirit and flesh, they war. When you want to do something right for the Lord, you want to walk his way, and you start, something in your body, something in your mind and your emotions is not going to agree with it. Or people around you that are not wanting to walk or not wanting to move that, they're going to argue with you. So it's that part of hearing from God, the Spirit's prompting. It's that part of that certain uncertainty, knowing that I won't have all the answers, but as long as I have the first step, it's all I need. God, just tell me which direction. Tell me what you want, who to go, whatever. And I'll just faithfully take that step and see what you will do. That predictable resistance. And lastly, the uncommon clarity. Verse 24 is what Paul says, and that you have to feel the power of the statement when he says this. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. But to finish the race. If only I can aim for the prize, the task, the plan that he set out before me. In other words, even if it kills me, even if I do this, there is nothing, even if it doesn't turn out right for me, there's nothing else that matters because my king asked me. Because he asked me. We can argue back and forth on when you ask me something or I ask you something. We're not talking about people asking people something. But when our king asks something of us, Are we willing to drop everything? If only I finish the race and complete the task. This is why I exist. This is somewhere that he wants to be on purpose. As we open our hearts to the Lord, and if you're interested in being a part of this Kazon experience that's going to come up in November here, two Thursday nights and one Saturday, we're going to walk through these practically. You're going to have to do some stuff. No one's checking your stuff, but you're going to have to do some stuff because there's no sense in you hearing God because someone tells you all the time. But we want to help you hearing God all on your own. Wherever you are, you could be in your bathtub and hear from God. Right, you don't have to be in the four walls of this church. You can hear God anytime, any place. All you have to do is call out to him. And the word of God says, as you call out to me, I will answer. Jeremiah 33:3. And so I really encourage you, and that if you haven't yet, to come into the place and ask the Lord God what it is. For me, and that I've walked through the experience and I've asked the Lord God, like, why me? Why me in 1,400 different churches around Canada, POC churches, sorry? Thousands and thousands of POC pastors. Why Phil Smith? There's lots of pastors I could name to you that are better preachers than me. There's lots of pastors, they do things better than I do. And that used to bother me. God, I'm not really any good. Why? Because I'd look to my right and compare to someone. I'd look to my left and compare to someone, and I'd feel belittled, I'd feel small, and like I almost was going to quit pastoring a couple times. And then God started to speak into my heart and say, whoa, who are you looking to here? What measure are you using? And so all of a sudden, as I started to take some time and I started to walk through this and looked at my past experiences, looked at my gifts, looked at values, core values in my heart and things like that, all of a sudden, God gave me this picture. And so everything in my life, this is how everything flows, I do, out of this whole part of value and purpose in my life and plan. He gave me this picture that he says, Phil, you're a treasure hunter. I said, okay, that sounds really kind of cool for a guy. What does that mean? He gave me the scripture in Corinthians. He says, we are just jars of clay, but there's a treasure inside that's more valuable than gold. It's worth everything. And so that's why, as a pastor, I move different sometimes than other pastors maybe you've had before or other pastors you know. Because everything inside of me is, I'm looking for treasure. I'm looking for treasure, and I'm trying to draw it out. It's where sometimes some people say, Pastor, just get off my back and leave me alone. You're bugging me too much. Well, I'm just drawing out of you. Why? Because I see something good. I'm just drawing it out of you. Because that's how he wired me. And that's how we've moved. So in every decision and movement and everything we do, and that as a pastor or as a dad or as a man, I'm always looking for that. Out in the basketball court, I'm looking for that. Playing basketball with a whole bunch of guys on Wednesday night, one of these guys turns to me and that out of the blue, we're running back from one end to the other end, we're running back, and he says, you know what? He says, I want you to know that I love you. Not in a weird way. And we're playing basketball. Like, come on, like, why you drop that on me now? And he's like, no, I just want you to know that I really love you and I value and I thank you for being in my life. Why? Because as we're playing ball, there's been moment after moment after moment where God has put something in my heart to draw treasure out of him. He's not saved. He doesn't know the Lord. But I'm telling you, he's getting to know him. Why? Because we're drawing treasure out of them all the time. Now, that doesn't mean everyone here is wired the same way, but how are you wired? What's your purpose in life? When you walk into the room, what changes? What happens? Because you're there. See, you carry the great I am inside of you. And he's got a plan for your life. So I encourage you, if you want to come on out and you want to join with us, there's no magic in this, there's no any of that, but you want to start to try and get yourself into a place to say, hey, God, I want to live on purpose. I want to hear your voice. I want to walk within you. I want to open up to you. And that, or maybe your past is just stacking up so high on you, and you want to take a moment with God to help sort some of that, to draw good out of it, because all you see is bad. And you want God to change your perspective. And I encourage you to come and join us on those nights. It's in your bulletin. The boys will pull up the PowerPoint slide and that to remind you of that. But know that we love you and that we care for you and that we love you so much here and that Rockcliffe is a great place to be. It's a great place for you to come, not only to be safe, not only to be open to the Lord, but to come because we will help draw from you. We will help encourage you. We will help spur you on in the faith. Amen? Why? Because all of us can be astray. All of us can get sidetracked. All of us can get comfortable or whatever. And we need each other to help us to continue to run the race that God has called for us. So know that we love you and the Lord loves you too. And he's got a plan for your life. And all you got to do is seek him. Seek him. Find out what he's saying. And then allow him to lead you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. You are so amazing. I thank you, God, Lord, that in the 6 billion people around this world, you're thinking about me. You're thinking about us. In the 6 billion people around the world, you have a very specific plan and a way you wired each of us in such a way that no one else could do what we do in the way that you've asked it to be done. There's a uniqueness in the way that you designed us. And so, Lord, I thank you for each and every one. I thank you for the plans that you have for each and every one, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. And, Lord, it says after that, that the key to it is if we seek you with all our heart, then we will find you. And if we find you, we find our purpose. We find our plan. We find the direction and the good works and good things that you have called us in advance. So this morning, we humble ourselves once again to set on a quest to seek you first, to hear your voice. So God, I thank you for that right now. I thank you this is not an aimless, blindless thing, but this is right into your heart and your throne room. So Lord, I speak life into each and every one and blessing into each and every one. May your face be caused to shine upon them. May you open their ears and open their eyes, Lord, to understand and to see. You said, don't just be hearers of the word, but put it in practice, that every one of us can hear your voice. And so, Lord, help us not to keep that message to ourselves, but help us, Lord, to bring that message to our friends and family and others around to say, man, I haven't heard from God for years and decades. But let us, Lord, come around them and lift them back into a place and encourage them they can hear God today. And so, Lord, thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, for what you're speaking and what you're doing. Thank you for the promptings. Thank you for the nudges that you bring into our heart every time we open up your word. And so, Lord, I just thank you for that right now, and thank you for all that you have in store. And tonight, as we come back to pray together and pray for one another and to hear from you and to walk with you, Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, overwhelm us, Lord, with ears to hear and eyes to see exactly what you're doing. For too long, we've heard and we've seen what the enemy is doing, and it overwhelms us with fear and worry and anxiety. But Lord, today we're asking, we want to see what you're doing. And that because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank you for that. And we give you praise. We give you glory and honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.